Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. From time to time, we've interviewed a representative from a different branch of the Christian tree. We've interviewed the Salvation Army, Church of Scotland, Baptist, Episcopalian, Pentecostal, Roman Catholic, you name it. And tonight, we've got another branch from the Nazarene Church. We've got in the studio the Reverend Jeff Austin, who's in the Nazarene Church in Ardrossan in Glasgow Street. So welcome, Jeff, and thanks for coming to the studio.
Pleasure.
And we'd just like you to tell us a wee bit about the Nazarene Church.
Okay, we're called the Nazarene Church because we believe in Jesus Christ, and Jesus was a Nazarene, came from Nazareth. And so Church of the Nazarene simply means the emphasis on the Church of Jesus Christ. We don't emphasize any particular doctrine in our denominational name. The first Nazarene Church was in the 1890s. They were a group of independent churches in America, California, New York, and down south. They got together. And the first Nazarene Church in Scotland was in Parkhead, and that was started in 1906. Our church, our congregation, started in the first decade of the 20th century, and they began under the title Holiness Tabernacle. And then in 1917, they joined with the Church of the Nazarene.
And it's in quite a few countries, isn't it?
Yes, we're in, I think it's 159 different countries around the world now.
And how many followers altogether, would you say?
Well, we have, officially, I think we have over 2 million members, but then there are lots of adherents who come who haven't actually joined the church.
What's the difference between the Nazarene Church and any other branch? Have you any particularly distinctive features?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have an emphasis on holiness, which is holy living. And of course, that we believe that comes about through the Holy Spirit. Now, these days, lots of churches emphasize the Holy Spirit, all evangelical churches. But back in the late 19th century and early 20th century, the Holy Spirit seemed to have been left out of the preaching. And so we emphasize Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity, and we had an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. It was called our distinctive doctrine, but we're not so distinctive these days because lots of denominations, thankfully, think about the Holy Spirit.
You were just trying to build up the balance.
Yes.
It's an imbalance.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But you don't speak in tongues like the Pentecostals do.
We don't speak in tongues in our services, although I'm sure there are members of the Nazarene Church who would speak in tongues, but our practice is not to have it in the church services.
Mm-hmm. And would a church service in a Nazarene church be much the same to look at if someone walked in off the street? The hymn sandwich sort of thing?
Not so much a hymn sandwich these days. That we certainly like singing. We follow in the Methodist tradition, and John Wesley's Methodist church was called the Singing Church, and we certainly follow in that tradition. We like music, although these days it's more contemporary, and we have a band rather than a keyboard or an organ.
And speaking of Charles Wesley, John Wesley, your first song that you've picked for, first hymn that you've picked for today is one of Charles Wesley's famous hymns.
Yes. And Can It Be? It's one that I remember from being brought up in the Sunday school and in the church where I come from in London. So I've been singing this probably for 60 years or so, and it's still a favourite. The edition, the song we're going to hear now is again to with a guitar background rather than piano or organ.
Right, and if you want to join in and sing along, you can. So here's "And Can It Be."
Sing with me, "And Can It Be."
And can it be that I
You're listening to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour as we interview Jeff Austin, the minister of the Nazarene Church in Ardrossan. Well, I've been asking you, Jeff, about the Nazarene Church. Let me ask you now a bit about yourself. How did you end up as a minister in the Nazarene Church?
Okay, my first contact with the Nazarene Church was when I was about three. My family lived close to a Nazarene Church in London at Clapham Junction, and my parents sent their children, my brother and my three sisters, we all went to Sunday school. Over the years, some of my sisters and brother left, but I stayed on. And in my teenage years, I decided that I really wanted to be a Christian and to take it seriously. So I would count that my teenage years as when I was converted. And then I got involved in the church and just an increasing desire to serve God full time. And so in my 20s, after working for the BBC for a while, I went to a Bible college, a Nazarene Bible College in Manchester. And then when I graduated from there in 1977, my first pastorate was the Church of the Nazarene in Salford, just north of Manchester. Then I went to Erskine in Scotland, then to Perth, then back down south to Watford, and then in 2008, I came to Ardrossan.
So you've been here since 2008?
Yes.
Yeah. And you're quite settled in Ardrossan?
Yeah, my wife and I, we love it. It's great, yeah.
And since you've come, I understand, on the grapevine, that you've made a few changes, innovations.
Yeah. Well, I guess the outside of the building changed. When I came up, our first thought was, well, the church building's in a bit of a state. We might need to move somewhere else, you know, to a school or a community centre. But when we got there, it was in such a good position on Glasgow Street, bus stop outside. And so we decided to try and renovate the building. And we got some grants and managed to raise quite a bit of money. And we changed the colour of the church outside from a sort of red to a oatmeal type colour, which it is now. And that caused quite an impact in the community because we had scaffolding all around the building and people wondered what was going on. Because when we came up in 2008, there were only five or six people in the congregation who you could count on to be there. Mm-hmm. And a number of folks thought the church had closed down. But then they suddenly see all this activity. And so we changed the colour and that, as I say, that caused quite a bit of talk in the community. And then inside the building, we took the pews out, we removed the pulpit, and there was a big pipe organ which was beyond repair. So it was really just taking up space, and so we removed that as well. And now we have tables and chairs. We run a cafe 3 days a week.
I understand. Instead of pews, you have tables sitting like a cafe.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, what's the thinking behind that?
Well, we have a cafe 3 days a week. And the first time we did it on a Saturday. And someone said at the end of the day, we don't really have the energy to put these back and get out the chairs in rows. Can we leave it till tomorrow? So I said, yeah, okay, we'll worship round the tables on that Sunday. And people just loved it. And it was great. It was very informal. And it does mean that people who come to the cafe who are non-church attenders, it's not strange for them if they decide to come to church. They can come in and sit at the same table where they had soup and a sandwich during the week.
They don't have a soup and a sandwich during the service, though.
No, we have tea and coffee, which is available most of the time.
And they can sit having their coffee during the service.
Yeah, if they want to.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
And it seems to be quite popular.
It is, yeah. Well, recently, we're averaging about 75 now on a Sunday morning. Though a couple of weeks ago, we had 94, which was great, and we were very pleased with that. And most of the folks could have come back. They were just local folks, although we did have a few visitors from local folks. But so the church is progressing, and I have a great group of lay folk.
Have you come with a master plan, or did these things just evolve bit by bit?
Well, I guess evolve. Well, there were a few things I wanted to do before I retired. I'm 65 next year, although I'm not too sure exactly when I'm going to retire. But I wanted the church congregation to grow. I wanted the church to be financially viable so that they could afford to have another minister, and I wanted the church to be presentable, to look good.
So can you tell us about some of your other innovations?
Yeah, we transformed the gardens outside. It was a project with Greenway, which is run by Ron Gilchrist, and he and the church, we went into a partnership to develop the grounds, and we built planters, And there's no chemicals used. It's all natural, organic stuff. And the good thing I like about it is before we had that garden, I used to have to cut the grass. But now the grass has been greatly reduced. And there are planters. And so we grow all kinds of plants. We grow vegetables, which we give away. Or sometimes we use them in the cafe if they're appropriate. And then on the other side of the church, we have a polytunnel where we're growing all the plants, the seedlings to plant out later on in the year.
I think folk will be wondering, why is a minister and a church going to great lengths about a garden?
Right.
How does that fit in with ministry?
Well, the church is more than an hour on a Sunday, and we wanted to be very much involved in the community. And part of the reason behind the garden was that we wanted to provide activity for people. We've been in contact with Drug and Alcohol Partnership, and they were going to be sending recovering addicts our way to work in the gardens, you know, to keep them busy, because often the problem with addicts is they get time on their hand and then they get into trouble. And so the idea was that we would have lots of volunteers from the community and try and keep them busy, and they could learn skills too.
And you've also got a choir and food bank, and we'll come on to some of these things in a minute.
Yep.
But just in the spirit of all these innovations, we've got some modern music this time.
Yes, the next song that which we like singing in church is Lord, I Come Before Your Throne of Grace, which indicates that we're coming into God's presence and acknowledging him.
Lord, I come before your throne.
Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest.
What a faithful God am I.
Well, Jeff, your church has quite a few innovations, but perhaps you're most famous in the local area as being the food bank man, because the Nazarene Church is the base for a whole network of food banks.
Yes.
Can you tell us how you got involved in the food bank world?
Okay, we run the food bank in partnership with Trussell Trust, who run food banks all over the UK. And it was a man in our church, Craig Crosthwaite, our secretary and treasurer, and we were talking. And there were people coming in into our cafe who would come in for a meal, but then have no food for the next couple of days. And they were having trouble. And so we thought, what could we do to help? And so a food bank was suggested. We made inquiries. Registration was £1,500, and the council actually gave us a grant for that, North Ayrshire Council, so that we could make further inquiries, and we registered, we had some training, and it is the North Ayrshire Food Bank, so it's not the Church of the Nazarene Food Bank, but it's North Ayrshire Food Bank, but it's based at the Nazarene Church, and we have distribution centres all over the place, in Irvine. And
how many distribution centres did you say?
I'm not too sure. I knew you were going to ask me that. I should have asked Craig before I came. Oh, yeah, there's easily a dozen.
It's quite a big scale now, isn't it? It's grown.
Yes, it is. We opened in December 2012, and since then, over 6,500 people have been fed through the food bank. And so we're giving out, at the current rate, about 80 parcels a week at the various centres. And each parcel contains enough food for 3 days, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. And then depending on whether it's a single person or a couple or a family, depends how much they get. But we have loads and loads of volunteers. We couldn't do it without the volunteers from the churches, but also not from churches too, just folks who are interested in helping. And
how many volunteers roughly?
Oh, dozens and dozens and dozens. Yeah. It's great. And the local Air Cadet Corps come down every Friday. And we had some Boys Brigade boys in a few weeks ago. We've had schools come in and help. And a lot of schools have been having harvest assemblies. And so this last week or so, we've gathered loads and loads of supplies for the food bank.
So generally, supply and demand is matching up okay?
Yes. Yeah. I think there was only once when we thought we were going to be running out, but we managed to survive. We put out a plea for certain things that we run out of. And so some people do donate money so that if we're, for example, running out of soup, then we can go and buy some soup or milk. Or milk and sugar tend to go very, very quickly.
What do you think personally about the whole business of food banks?
I wish we didn't need to have them. I'm glad we do have them because there is a need. You know, some people are perhaps a bit critical and saying, "Oh, people ought to get jobs or spend their money on food rather than on perhaps what others might consider wasting it." But there's lots of genuine need in our area, and as I say, you know, we give out about 80 parcels a week, and they're only allowed, people are only allowed 3 parcels in a 6-month period unless there's a special condition. And so it is really emergency food. We're not saying we're going to do your weekly shopping for the rest of your life.
Am I right in saying that the Trussell Fund is the biggest distributor of food and food banks?
I think so,
in the whole of Britain.
Yeah, there are hundreds of food banks.
And it's part of the constitution of it that it's always church-based.
Yeah, it is church-based. It was started by a church group down south, and the town has slipped my mind at the moment, but it's quite a posh, you know, I think if from outside it looks quite a middle-class town. I just can't think. Salisbury. I think it was Salisbury. And the Trussell Trust said, if we need food bank in Salisbury, you need it where you are.
Yeah. Why is it so church-orientated?
Because the founders were Christian, and they wanted to have certain principles. And it's just the way that they're, it's just the way they've decided it should be. We register with them. There are other non-church food banks, but they don't belong to the Trussell Trust.
But the churches obviously think that practical food is something to do with ministry.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. So it's the Bible talks about giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, and he often met people's physical needs before he met their spiritual needs. Mm-hmm. And so it has proved to be the case that people who have come to the food bank have eventually come to the church. So we have people in the church services each Sunday whose first contact with us was through the food bank.
And you also have a choir. Can you tell us about your choir?
Yeah, it's a community choir. My wife, she runs that. And we started that the very first year we were here. As I said, some people thought the church had closed down, but we opened up, and she put a sign on the notice board outside, community choir starting. It was just at the time when community choirs were becoming very popular on TV. All kinds of community choirs. And so it's not a church choir, because lots of folks who sing in the choir don't go to church anywhere. And we sing secular music, and as well as some Christian music. At the moment, we're preparing a Christmas musical. And everybody who comes, you know, is quite happy to sing the Christian music as well as the secular music.
And at this point, I would have liked to have played the CD of your choir, but they haven't made one yet.
We haven't made one yet, but
you're working towards it.
Yes, we will do one day, I think.
Well, can we hear a song that your choir particularly likes to sing?
Yes, one of the songs we sing is You Raise Me Up, and it's very, very, very popular by the singers, and also whenever we go out and sing somewhere, people really like that song too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Jeff, you certainly have a whole list of impressive innovations and projects and things. And I'd just like to scratch the surface a wee bit underneath. What's making you tick with all these things? What are you trying to do?
We're trying to build the church in the community. So any way that we can help the community, and any way that the community can see that the church isn't just a spiritual organization but cares about people in the community too, which is why we do the community things and have children's work, children's clubs, and parent and toddlers group and all those kind of things. And so we do want to get people into the church building, but as a Christian, of course, I want more people into the kingdom of God. So it's not about, even if people come and find Christ as Savior and go to the Baptist Church or Church of Scotland, it doesn't matter, really, as long as they come to faith in Christ.
Yeah. The church is a place to bring folk in.
Yeah.
But it's also a launchpad to set them out.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you got other great ideas in the pipeline?
Well, the church was built in 1857, and in 1980, it was became a listed building. So the main sanctuary is listed and the back hall is listed, but there's a little section in between where we have a kitchen and a couple of rooms which isn't listed, and we would like to demolish that and rebuild something which was more appropriate for the purposes that we have. We have some designers who have come up with plans, and I think if prices stayed the same as when they gave us the costing, it would be about £850,000. We don't have that at the moment.
Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
But he's hopeful.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, Jeff, thank you very much for coming into the studio and sharing with us all the things that you're doing. We're very impressed, and I hope God continues to bless you and the congregation
thank
flourishes.
Thank you.
And you've chosen a hymn to finish on with the highest note you could choose.
Yeah. It's called Above All Powers, and there's a very interesting line. It's about Jesus being crucified, but then there's an interesting line that when he was dying, he thought of me. And so Christianity, we want to build the churches, but it's made up of individuals that Jesus died for. So he died for me, and he died for everybody in the three towns and who's listening to this.
Right, thanks very much. Bye for now. Rejected and alone, like a rose,
of all. Thank you, Lord. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and the treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, and you thought of me.
Above all.